Sidra. Everything was gone for a while. When it came back, Blue is there, looking hugely relieved. She's awake. His face melted into a smile. Welcome back, he said, squeezing the kit's hand. Sidra wondered how long he'd been holding it. She had no record on that point. There was the sound of someone getting up fast. Pepper appeared, placing a hand on Blue's shoulder as she plunked herself into a chair. A chair. Tax chairs. They were in the tattoo shop. Why were they in the tattoo shop? Oh, stars, Pepper said. Stars, it worked. Her head fell forward, pressing against the side of the kit. Shit. She sat back up quickly, her eyes darting over the kit's face. Are you feeling okay? Give me a diagnostic. Sidra ran a systems check, as directed. Line by line, the results came back. Go, go, go. I'm fine, she said, and she felt it, too. Though, she rifled through her memory files, I don't know how you got here. I don't know when you got here. What time is it? A little after 13, Blue said. You've been out for an hour. An hour. In Tack's shop. And Pepper had told her to run a di- Oh, no. The kit sat up, and Sidra looked around. The front shutters were drawn. The door was shut. Tack was leaning against a corner wall, as far away from them as he could be. He puffed his pipe, face taut, cheeks a pensive yellow. He knew. Sidra looked back to Pepper, away from Tack's silent stare. What happened? She whispered. Pepper sighed. So, as it turns out, Nanobot Inc. doesn't play nicely with your bots. Their signals interfered with the signals traveling from your core to the kit. It made everything flip out. Her eyes flicked to Tack, her gaze hard and careful. Sidra knew that look. It was the same look Pepper had when she was assessing something combustible. Tack called us, and we figured it out. She frowned with discomfort. I directed you to go into standby mode until all the bots were out. Sidra had no record of the directive, but she knew Pepper well enough to know that triggering a system protocol that forced Sidra to turn herself off would not sit right with her. You had to, Sidra said. I understand. Pepper shut her eyes and gave a single nod. He removed the ink, Blue said, looking at Tack with a smile. It was a real big help. His tone was friendly, too friendly, and his words were sticking more than usual. Tack gave a short, polite, Iluon smile that vanished almost as soon as it had appeared. His cheeks roiled with nervous conflict. He emptied the ash from his pipe, then began to refill it. Pepper and Blue exchanged a worried glance. The same concern crept through Sidra. Tack knew, and they didn't know him at all. I don't even know him, Sidra thought. We had a nice conversation, and I confused that for knowing someone. So stupid. So stupid. And yet, Of all the deadly, serious things she was scared of in that moment, Tack calling the Port Authority, Pepper and Blue getting in trouble, the likelihood of the kit being deactivated with her still in it, the situation variable that was stuck in the loudest, most unhappy processing loop was the thought of Tack no longer wanting to hang out with her. So stupid. "Can we go home?" she said quietly, doing her best to not meet Tack's eye. Pepper turned to the shopkeeper. "Listen, Tack, I'm truly grateful for your help today. We all are. And I'm really sorry for the scare you went through. Blue and I, we take responsibility for that." "Pepper," Sidra said. Pepper carried on. "We knew she was coming here today, and the potential for risk didn't occur to either of us. It was a major oversight on our part. I can't apologize enough." She met the kit's eyes. "To both of you." Pepper pressed her lips together, choosing her words with care. "I know the situation here is unusual." Tack gave a short, audible exhale, a relative rarity for his silent species. It was a scoff, a reaction that happened too quick for talkbox phrasing. Sidra's pathways felt as if they were folding in on themselves. She wanted to go home. She wanted to be anywhere that wasn't here. Pepper didn't miss a beat. "If you want money, we can pay you. That's no problem. Or free fix-it services. We can arrange..." Tack cut her off. "I won't say anything. Okay? It's fine. I've seen plenty of weird modder shit, and I really don't care. It is not my business. I just don't want it coming back to me if this project of yours gets found out. I don't know about this. Okay? I don't know about this, and I have nothing to do with it." "You think she's..." "It's not like that. Sidra's not a project. Okay, I told you. I don't care." Blue helped the kid up. "Come on," he whispered. We should go." Pepper sighed. "Okay," she said to Tack. A tightness crept into her voice, but she remained civil. She owed him, and she knew it. "Thank you for being cool about this." Sidra headed for the door with Blue, but something made her turn back around. She and Tack stared at each other across the long room. Sidra wasn't quite sure what he was feeling. She got the impression maybe he didn't know either. "I'm sorry," Sidra said. "I didn't mean for any of this to happen." Tack looked not to her, but to the humans accompanying her. Looked at them like you might look at a child's parents if the kid asked something odd. Like you might look at the owner of a pet that strayed into your house. "I came here on my own," she said, her voice loud, her pathways spiking with injury and anger. "I came here. It wasn't a directive. It wasn't a task. I wanted to see you. I thought you could help me. I didn't mean to cause trouble." "Hey," Pepper said softly, putting her hand on the kit's arm. "Sweetie, come on. Let's go home." "Wait," Tack said. "Wait." He was looking at Sidra now. His pipe smoldered between his fingers. "What?" He paused, uncomfortable, unsure. "What did you want my help with?" "I already told you," Sidra said. "Twice we've talked about it." She gestured at the kit. "This isn't me. And you, You understood how I felt about that. Or you did, before an hour ago. She searched his face, looking for some glimmer of recognition, for that easy dynamic they'd fallen into when Tack had thought they were more or less the same. She saw only confusion and smoke. I'm sorry, she said again. So stupid. She walked out of the shop and into the marketplace. Pepper and Blue followed close behind, their silence hanging thick between them. The crowd flowed around her, dozens of faces, dozens of names, dozens of stories in progress. She'd never felt so alone.